Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
It's great to see a lot of unfamiliar faces here. That's awesome. And the familiar ones. So my name is Mike Russert, and I'm pastor with Intertwine Northeast, though Intertwine Northeast refers to me as Mike. That whole concept of pastor is something that some of us are really trying to figure out, what is that? But Intertwine Northeast is this community that my friend and partner in crime, Laura and Lou, and I started working on about a year and a half ago. And I kind of talk about us as a church for the spiritual but not religious. Maybe that's the easiest way to understand what we're up to. And long time on staff with Jacob's Well, and really grateful for how, again, this community ruined church for me and invited me to think outside my box and to really get practical about what could community be that's asking what does it mean to be human and wrestling with stories like the ones from ancient texts like the Bible and engaging with psychology and pop culture. And so I'm just really grateful to be here, grateful that our communities are intertwining. Yeah, you like that? I get so much use out of that word. It's just, it has so much. It's just so good, intertwined. Just so grateful. I'm actually doing a wedding this afternoon at 2, and the woman is the one who gave us the name Intertwined. So I should probably do it pro bono because that name has paid dividends already. Enough about me. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad again that we have this beautiful, beautiful Sunday, and that some of you aren't doing the cabin thing. That's great. You can actually like really get through Minneapolis real quick. It's kind of fun. How many of you are fans of breathing? Yeah? So I thought maybe we could start out by putting our feet on the floor and giving our lungs room to breathe, and maybe we could take some deep breaths in and out and kind of soak in the moment that we're in right now. So if you would, just take in a deep breath through your nose and out your mouth. If you want, you can close your eyes and keep breathing deep breaths in and out. You can begin to notice the hum of summer around us, the birds singing, the sun in the shade on our bodies, the sound of the falls, keep breathing in and out. You are here. Our breath is a gift, and it's an invitation into the moment. And as you begin to open your eyes and be in the space that you're in, definitely welcome you to keep breathing. This is always available to us. It's always available to us as, again, an invitation to now. I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time not in the present moment. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Only a few of us? Okay. We got some people who have mastered being present here. That's awesome. Good for you. You should be up here. And I've been thinking about like just how short our lives are. like honestly, 70 to 80 years, there's this psalm, it's called Psalm 90. And the writer talks about us being like the grass, that with the dew, it's full of life in the morning, and by the evening, it's withered and faded away. And what do we have as human beings but 70 or 80 years? You know, the truth is, this is July 2nd, and a couple weeks ago, there was snow on the ground, and in a couple weeks, my three-year-old is going to graduate from high school and be heading off to college. Like, that's just how life goes. Time flies, and it's so complicated, the way that we have, the ways of thinking and being that we've brought into our lives that keep us away from being present. We've got this delicious coffee from Caribou, and Caribou has this line, life is short, stay awake for it. What a great invitation to now. So I was thinking about bubbles. I spent a couple hours making this giant bubble wand, and bubbles are kind of like life, right? They're there for a little bit. Kids, how many of you like bubbles? They can get super big and super cool. Goodness, that is so rad. Some more. Whoa. Who knew that like cornstarch and baking soda with some Dawn could create so much fun? But kids, that's kind of how life is, you know? It's really short. It's like the life of a bubble. We got a little bit of time. And you know what I admire about you guys? Is you know how to be present for it. We get a little bit older and we start worrying about stuff. And you guys are spending this time in the moment. We got a lesson we could learn from you. So, you guys, bubbles and stuff over here. And we'll post some more of these later on tonight. After the message here. So, wow, that was a really good idea. Do a bunch of big bubbles and then set it down. Okay. Always in process is one of the things we talk about as intertwined. We're always learning. But so it's really tough to be in the present moment. And I wanted to talk about some ways of thinking and being that keep us out of the moment and maybe some alternatives that can invite us into it. The first one is like perpetual motion, just this perpetual motion of our lives. Like, how many of you, the normal response when somebody asks you how you're doing is busy? I say that way too often. We fill our lives, every single moment is scheduled out. And where is the time to rest, you know? Well, there's this alternative, and it's this ancient thing that's called Sabbath. Now, today is an interesting day because in Minnesota, and this is the first day that you can buy liquor on Sunday. Did you know that? Yeah. Who's beelining it to the liquor store afterwards? Woo! Okay, that guy. All right. But, you know, so there used to be these things called blue laws. Is anybody familiar with blue laws? Like businesses being closed on Sunday. You know, I'm not advocating for us to go back to a time where you got basically shunned by your community if you mowed your lawn on Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. But where are we giving ourselves time to rest? This whole idea of a Sabbath of like 6 days you work and on a seventh you rest, that kind of makes sense. You know, bodies need to rest and recover. The land needs to rest and recover. And maybe it's too tough with the way that we have our lives kind of formed today to set aside a whole day to just do nothing out of obligation. Maybe that's just a story we're telling ourselves. What if we tried? What if we tried to do a 24-hour period where we did nothing out of obligation? Maybe where we turn the screens off even. How many of you are email checkers at 10 p.m. before you go to bed? Yeah, oof. It's tough to fall asleep when we do that. And I don't know. I need the help of community to invite me into a different way of being that would say, hey, you can take a little bit of time, carve out a little bit of space in your life where you are doing nothing out of obligation, where you're just resting and being present to whatever it may be around you. How many of you have a head where there's constantly the voice that's just going, always going? You know, our brains, we got a voice in our head that's always, it's writing the story before it happens. It's categorizing things. We are evolved from monkeys, right? And monkeys got to stay alive. They can't get eaten by the tigers. But last time I checked, there aren't any tigers that are, kind of about to pounce on me in the tree. But I get so caught up in the fear and insecurities that are part of being human that I can't be present to what's going on around me. I think the alternative maybe is that breath, that pause to attend to, hey, what's this story in my head that's going on? And how grounded in reality is it? You know? This is a, my sister would hate me for saying this story, but she's in Texas, so she won't hear about this. So she and her husband were sleeping, and it was one of those fights about taking up too much room in the bed. And Sam said to her husband, put yourself directly above yourself and look down and see how much space you're taking up in the bed. Put yourself directly above yourself. That's actually a pretty good invitation. Like, what if we stepped out of the noise that's up here and kind of step back and put ourselves directly above ourselves and said, hey, what's really going on here? You know, how is all this noise keeping me from actually being present to what's going on around me? Because there really isn't a tiger that's about to kill me, you know? So checking the voice in our head, and I think breath can be one of those tools that helps us do that. So how many of you have ever been in a relationship? I think we all have to raise our hands for that one. Yeah, relationships, they're great, and they're super tough. But part of existing is being in relationship. And part of being in relationship is learning how to practice restraint and learning how to get along, right? To be present with one another when we're holding grudges or when we're withholding forgiveness from another. How many of you hold grudges against your spouse? Can we get honest here? Yeah. And I've had these times where it's so silly, but I hold this grudge, and the whole time, you know, I'll spend like a half a day where I'm grumpy and I'm just not able to be present because the story keeps going through my head about how they're wrong and I'm right and how I should make them know that they screwed it up and they should be held responsible. All of this stuff just keeps us away from being present, from experiencing possibility. And forgiveness is really a powerful, powerful tool that can pull us back into the wonder of the moment. It's really, really tough, but it's also one of those things that you try it once and wow, that feels good. And there's all new possibilities when we clear stuff up with one another. That is a beautiful invitation into now. So the other day, I had 3 days where I had an evening meeting, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and this was Thursday, and I was like, I'm gonna sit down and watch some Netflix because this is my first day that I've had. And how many of you function with the story that says time is precious? Yeah, so time is precious. And but then you add all the choices on the Netflix queue, and I don't want to waste my time watching something that's not worth my time. So 35 minutes later, when I still hadn't selected what I was going to watch because I didn't want to waste my time, sometimes choice can actually be a problem, right? Sometimes choice can actually be one of those things that keeps us away from experiencing life. We in America who have all this access to resources and stuff in our lives, sometimes meaning in our lives is defined by what we consume. we have stories in our culture that talk about what it means to live the good life. So you build meaning in your life through consuming experiences, through buying stuff, and you get caught up in the midst of what's the next thing that you're never even present to the things that you are consuming. And what if the alternative is maybe an invitation to not finding our meaning through what we consume? What if an alternative is trying to build a life of simplicity? I don't know how we do that. And I think that's why we need the power of community, the power of together to help us. I have one practice that I want to start doing, and it's more saying yes to others and less saying yes to myself. So I get a lot of invitations to do a lot of things. And what if I just said yes and went with it and created something with that invitation? So responding to the invitation with yes and simplifying our lives, doing a little less around choice, and just going with it. I want to close with a story. And this is a story from my life where I was on a tour of the Holy Land. It's crazy how this Christianity, Jesus and God stuff has largely become an invitation to not be present. There are people who had power, who made Christianity this thing about fear and control, right? Like, this whole Jesus thing is about getting you into heaven. And, hey, we're the ones who have the keys to the kingdom, so get in line. Another story within Christianity is, well, if you just say the right things, pray the right prayers, you'll get to live the abundant life. And you can continue to fill your lives with stuff and consumption. And so Christianity is an invitation to be afraid, and Christianity is an invitation to consume more. I kind of want to live an alternative to that. What if this whole Jesus story is an invitation to be present, to be more fully human, to soak in the beauty of this earth, to come alongside people in their hurt and their pain and in their fears and insecurities, and in doing so, being invited into the fullness of what it means to be alive. So this is kind of how a story like that played out in my life. So how many of you have heard the story of the burning bush? So there's this guy named Moses, and Moses is this Jew, and he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. And Moses, raised in the lap of luxury, and one day he saw a Jewish man being beat by a taskmaster, because all the other Jews were slaves. And this taskmaster was beating up this Jewish man, and Moses intervened, and he ended up killing the taskmaster. So Moses gets out of Dodge, he flees to the Sinai Peninsula, and he becomes a shepherd. And one day, Moses is out in the wilderness, and he comes across this burning bush. And it's burning, and yet it's not being consumed. And he hears this voice. It's the voice of his God, whose name is Yahweh. And Yahweh says, Moses, take off your sandals. This is holy ground that you're standing on. And Moses takes off his sandals, and he hears this voice from Yahweh say, hey, I hear the suffering of my people, and I'm sending you to Egypt to free your fellow Israelites. And then that leads into the story of the Exodus, where, Charlton Heston raises the Bible and the sea splits, and it's really great. Now, there's this ancient tradition from a rabbi that said that that bush, Moses had walked by it day after day, and it was always on fire. It was just in this last story that Moses finally awoke to this bush that had always been burning. maybe he had been putting off all that kind of tug in his person that said, what am I going to do about all the suffering that others are experiencing? And finally, he comes to a place where he accepts that he has something to do, where he gets present to the pain that he's feeling and the empathy that he has for his people back in Egypt. So I was in the Sinai Peninsula last April. I think my parents brought me along on it because they were worried that I was going to lose Jesus. So they said, well, let's take him to the Holy Land. And anyways, it worked out. Jesus and I are still cool. But we had this tour guide. His name was Adele. And he was maybe in his mid-40s. He was super witty, super knowledgeable, and he had taken us for about a week to all these places in Egypt and had stories. He was with us on a bus 8+ hours a day, constantly telling stories, answering our questions, just the kindest man, always smiling. And Adele was a Muslim man, and one day, this last day that we were with Adele, because we were about to head off to Jordan and have a new tour guide, was spent at the monastery of St. Catherine, which is in the Sinai Peninsula. And since the 4th century, it's been the traditional place of where the burning bush is. And just up the hill is Mount Sinai, supposedly, where Moses gets the 10 Commandments. So we were visiting this monastery, and there is this bush, and it's like 16 centuries old, and it's this beautiful thing. And Adele told us all the stories, and then we were allowed to go on a little bit of a kind of do-your-own tour, walk around. And during that time, my dad kind of had a conversation with Adele, and my dad came to find out that Adele's in his mid-40s, got a few kids and a wife, and his wife was battling pancreatic cancer. And she actually just died a couple months ago. But what Adele had been doing was spending 8 to 10 hours a day with us, putting on the smile, practicing this immeasurable hospitality, just being, the most hospitable person I've ever encountered. And then going home, he was actually going to the hospital to be with his wife. We were blown away that this man had shown us such love and such, just given us such energy. And my dad kind of invited everybody into this open space next to that bush. And we all prayed for Adele. We surrounded him and with gratitude and with love for all he had done for us. And it was kind of this moment where Adele actually became the burning bush for me. Like, I woke up to the goodness and the beauty, and it's one of those moments that I'll never forget. How are we making space for people to share with us their suffering? You know? How many of you are experiencing suffering in your life? We all experience it at times and to different degrees. And we often choose to suffer silently and alone. But there's a great invitation in sharing one another's suffering. There's an awe, there's a mystery, there's love in the midst of meeting people in their pain. And what if an alternative way of being, other than just going through life and going through the motions, what if we intentionally showed up in people's lives and gave them our ear as curious people? What if we turned off the story in our head where we already wrote the story, we've already done the categorization, and what if we showed up with just openness to what may come? This life is short. We got 70, maybe 80 years if we're lucky. So how are we going to get present to it? Let's figure it out together.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have, too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.